Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
A beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the neighbor. Won't you be mine? Could you be my neighbor? Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. FSP, I'm back in the place and I'm in the place to be, hosting my show, doing what I do. I want to thank Jerry and the crew for holding it down for the past month that I've been absent. But I will say this. Jerry and the guys got mad crazy ratings, and I'm very, very happy about that. So please don't disappoint. Keep those ratings coming in, even though I'm the host. Yes, it's me, Mr. FSP. On today's show, we are going to discuss football, and more football. To be more specific, we're going to talk about Dwayne Bowe signing his franchise tender, what effect that has on the Kansas City Chiefs. All this hubbub about the Jets versus the Giants. It's only a preseason game, but we're going to hear from Bart Scott and what he feels and what he thinks about this game. And I have a question for you guys. Why is it the Jets get more publicity than the Giants, even though the Giants have won 2 Super Bowls in the past 5 years? Talk about that. And yes, we're going to talk about Brett Favre. Even though he's not playing in the NFL anymore, he's still topping the news by coaching in Hattiesburg. He's coaching a high school team, offensive coordinator. And we're going to hear from one of his players, I believe it is, Mr. McCarty, and get his thoughts on Favre as a coach. We have a lot of stuff in store for you today, so stick and stay with me. It's your boy FSP. JT Money will chime in shortly, but if you want to get involved or if you want to call, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Also, we have our chat room open for discussion if you want to pop in there. Time permitting, we're going to discuss a little politics. That's the name of the show, Fantasy Sports and Politics. It is becoming election season, and Mitt Romney has named his running mate. Now President Obama and Joe Biden know who they're going against, and we'll see. I have some views on both sides of the tickets, and you guys might like them. Some of them you might not like, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll get some discussion out of that as well. However, let me get into where I've been the past couple of weeks. I've been training to be a leader in my career field. I'm a natural born leader, of course. Of course I am. But I've been experiencing some high-end training with a bunch of high-end folks. And while there, we might have picked up a new show. The gentleman that will be hosting the show once we get everything finalized is Brian Maud. And Brian is going to be hosting the show all the way from Korea. Yes, we are global. Korea, Germany, the States, who knows? We might even get one in Iceland or the South Pole next. You never know. But that show will be a male version of Susie Orman with a little religious twist to it, okay? Brian is a very, very religious individual, and he has strong beliefs in how money ties into one's religion. But he's also a screenwriter, and we'll see. His show will be very, very interesting because of the different dynamics that it brings to the table. I can't sit here and say that I'm going to be able to back everything he says because he's a conservative. So his spending values are conservative-based. But I know this guy to be a very legitimate, reputable, high-integrity individual, and I hope that you all tune in. Tentatively, the show is scheduled for Wednesday, a time to be announced, but get ready for that. Again, Brian Maude with a financial-type show. I don't think he's going to be saying girlfriend or boyfriend like Susie Orman, but he'll be doing some things there. On yesterday, we had No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. I didn't catch the show, but it was supposed to be on the, I don't want to say Sex, Lies, and Videotape, but as you know, Mac is a independent, heavily leaning conservative, and he feels that there's some lies that have been spewed by President Obama. And he also feels that Romney and his running mate may have solutions to all the ills that this country is facing. Now, again, I don't agree with a lot of conservative views, but I do have some conservative viewpoints. I do not want anyone listening to our programs to think that we are streaming right. We're not Fox. We don't claim to be fair and balanced and not balanced at all. We are Fantasy Sports and Politics, and we lean toward the middle. That's why we have liberals and conservatives on the shows that we do, attempting to spread what knowledge we have on the situation. With that said, I'm a strong believer that the only reason why jobs are not being created in America is because big business controls America. And if the president, no matter who it is, does not do what big business wants, they will stop creating jobs. I will follow that by also saying that if Mitt Romney is elected president, you will see a string of jobs open because of his business ties and his willingness to deregulate and do all these things that will prompt businesses to jump into back into the American economy. But at what cost? At what cost, I ask you, what cost will it be to the American people and their health and their well-being if he's elected president? I do not want that to happen. And conversely, I equate President Obama's situation as he is sticking to his beliefs and his principles of being a liberal to the point where a lot of people are saying, no, you need to bend. And it might hurt him this year. I'm not sure if it will, if it won't, but I hope it does not. Right now I'm going to bring in our co-host, JT ATM Money Taylor, and I know he's been listening for about a minute and a half of what I've been saying, so before we get to the sports meat of the day, let's get into this. JT, talk to me about yesterday's show and what went down.
Well, we talked about Obama, and we talked about Romney, and I think a lot of it was about I think Paul Ryan is his name, I guess it is,
yes.
And his his bill or his philosophy of what is
finances.
It? Path to prosperity or something like that.
His finance plan.
Right. And I guess I was caught shorthanded because I didn't know enough about the guy. I didn't read up on the guy. I've been pretty busy this week and didn't get a chance to really read up on this guy. So I couldn't get an educated opposition, which I really wanted to. So I'm going to make sure that by the time we go online tomorrow, I mean not tomorrow, but next week, I'll be able to get up a strong opposition to how I feel. But I also had said that my fear is because Mr. Romney, I don't know if you listened to the show, is in such a higher tax bracket that because he's in a higher tax bracket, if he gets into office, he'll have a tendency to protect that higher tax bracket versus the middle class or anyone that's not even close to his income level. And I had really strong reservations about something like that happening, and that's basically a lot of what went down.
Okay. Well, I tend to agree with you because I want to say this, and I don't know if a lot of people realize it, but a lot of conservatives are like, why is President Obama so interested in Mitt Romney's tax returns and why they get off of that, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I submit to those who did not know, Mitt Romney did the exact same thing to the Kennedys. The exact same thing. Rode them hard and then put them up soaking wet on not revealing his tax returns when he was running for senator. For 34 years, I believe Senator Kennedy did not reveal his taxes. And that was one of the big sticking points in Mitt Romney's campaign and running for Senate for the state of Massachusetts. So when we talk about physical spending and we talk about financial transparency, Mitt Romney and all of his supporters can't say that President Obama needs to stop attacking him on revealing his taxes and things of that nature, because Romney did the exact same thing to Senator Kennedy.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
I mean, if you want to, you know, say that Obama's fighting dirty or whatever, these are the same taxes. Honestly, if you research it, the tactics that President Obama is using right now are the same tactics that Mitt Romney used when he was running for Senate against Kennedy and against others. Same thing. Same tactics. So that's why you don't hear Romney's camp saying too much about the tactics, because they used these tactics in the past. So, you know, the political side of this is this. You've got a bunch of folks that want to see change and, you know, think that they have the right idea for change. They have a bunch of folks that we're not going to help you at all implement those changes you want. We're going to let this system die and then put somebody in place so that we can build it the way we want to. That's the conservative way. Let something die so something new can be rebuilt. The problem is they're playing with the United States and letting it die so that they can try to rebuild it.
And that's one of the things I brought up yesterday, that in my opinion, ever since Bill Clinton was in office, this is the political climate between the two parties has gotten worse over the years. Where it's at now, where no one wants to cooperate with anybody because the fact is they don't want the other party to get an attaboy, get an upper hand, supposedly. At the expense, and I said this yesterday, at the expense of the American people, because the fact is one party, there's so much animosity between the two parties that no one's willing to give an inch anywhere. The last time someone was willing to give an inch and one party moved to whatever side to get anything accomplished it was back in Bill Clinton's years. But since that, and the venom that was spewed, especially in Bill Clinton's last years, it's gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of control. The amount of partisanship that's taking place now, and it's a miracle if a good bill, whether it doesn't make a difference which side puts it out there, but if it's a good bill that's going to benefit the majority of the people or the people of the United States, it's not going to get through no matter what, because whoever party puts it out, the opposite party is not going to let that happen, because that would tend to have a put a good light on the party who sponsored the bill. So I don't know. And I also said the American people are caught in the middle, because the fact is both sides, and I don't think it's going to change. You know, this is my opinion. I think it doesn't make a difference who's in office at this point, because the fact is that, in my opinion, because the government is so big, the president is basically a figurehead, in my opinion, and that because of the way the political climate is, whatever the wind turns, whatever the popularity contest is, who looks good, who's popular at the time, gets elected, gets put in office. But if Congress, Democrats, Republicans decide that they don't want to give an inch, it ain't going to happen. And that's the political climate I see right now. They play the game of pointing fingers at each other and placate to whatever base they have and say it's their fault, it's their fault. And they sit in their rooms, in their cigar-filled rooms or whatever, laughing and joking with each other, but they play the game, and the American people are suffering for it.
I agree. And just to point that out, and I don't want to belabor the point because we got to get the football, but when Vice President Biden and Boehner were caught because they didn't know their mics were hot, talking about golf, you know, like, oh, you should have seen me. I had a great liner, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was like people on both sides were angry that these two folks, and I think this was when Hank Williams Jr. got in trouble for saying what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But this was when, you know, like, why are you guys talking about golfing when we have issues in America that need to be fixed? Y'all shouldn't be liking each other. Now, I disagree with Hank Williams on that, but he has a point. You're supposed to be hammering out issues, not discussing how your golf swing was or anything like that. You're supposed to be, okay, if we're going to talk about golf, let's talk about, you know, this bill on the table while we're playing golf. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think they should necessarily be friends or necessarily be enemies when they're discussing these things. But the point is, American people are suffering, and the popularity of either side isn't that great.
Right.
And we're going to transfer from this, because I want to get into football, because it's somewhat political in football, too, now. We're going to transfer to your former team, the J-E-T-S, Jets.
Before we go any further, I want to welcome you back. I know you had a treacherous 3 weeks, seven, and 9 mile hump with a backpack, among other things that were going on. Now you get a chance to rest and relax for a few days before you get back to the grind, if you have to, on Monday. I just want to welcome you back, that you got safe and sound and didn't physically hurt yourself to the point where you can't
function correctly.
Exactly. So.
Well, thank you very much, young man. I appreciate that. It wasn't easy in my current situation, but I will say I had a 92% GPA, but because I messed up on one thing, I couldn't get Commandant's List or any type of honors, but I have one of the higher GPAs in my class. So
that's all good. That's all good.
Yeah, so that's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the political thing going on now in sports. We're not talking about Jonathan Vilma. We're not talking about Roger Goodell. We're talking about the Jets versus the Giants. I mean, there's so much noise coming out of Jets camp because of Tim Tebow. The Super Bowl champions have received little to no noise or press, which a lot of them like. A lot of them like because you want to stay under the radar and just win. And the bottom line is who holds the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season. Well, Brandon Jacobs came out and said something about it earlier this week, and Bart Scott had something to say about the preseason game that's going to happen later on tonight. Here's Bart Scott on the Giants game.
Better chance. You know, and they got a veteran offense, guys that have been together, tremendous skill players. You know, they got some, they infused with themselves with a little young enthusiasm and talent with the young running back, and I think it'd be a great test.
So Bart says it's going to be a great test for their defense. Now, Jerry, this is your former team. Will they even score on the Giants in this preseason game?
Yeah, they'll score. This is the second preseason game. The regulars will probably play for probably maybe a half. I'm talking about on the defensive side, probably a half. Getting progressively longer in the time they play. I do believe the Jets can move the ball, whether it's Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow running the ball along with Sean Green. I do believe the Jets can move the ball. I don't know how many points the Jets are going to score. They may even get close enough for a field goal, but yes, I do believe the Jets are going to score. I don't think the offense, even though I'm no longer a Jets fan, I don't think the offense is a high-powered offense, quite naturally not with a Tony Sperano offensive-coordinated offense, but I think they can move the ball on the ground, passing the ball, if they can deal with the pass rush, I think they'll be able to move down the field in increments, not any big plays. And like I said, it's probably on the Jets side, it's probably going to be low scoring. On the Giants side, they have a more explosive offense with more than capable receivers. I think the Jets can score. What your question was, do you think the Jets can score? Yes, I think they can score. I don't know if it's going to be enough in a preseason game, if it's really worth anything to win the game. I know it's the Battle of New York, in quotation marks, but and these guys are probably going a little harder in this game, even though it's a preseason game, than they would normally against another team because two rivals in the same stadium. But I think the Jets can score, just a matter of how much.
Okay. So the interest factor here is that two teams, one, you know, has been touted as being a team that could win a Super Bowl versus one that was built to win a Super Bowl and has won two already. When you look at the two franchises, are they going in two totally different directions, or do you think the Jets might have a way of righting their ship? Even though they're saying this kid, Stephen Hill or Hall, kid out of Georgia Tech, can't catch, but he can run by everybody, like he's a James Jett-type player. Do you think that the two teams are going to ever be on the same level, or have the Jets just, they have to just start over from scratch?
I wouldn't say they have to start over from scratch. I think the only position that's really holding the Jets back from being a decent team, I didn't say great team or a good team, a decent team, is a quarterback. You got a quarterback that can't pass as a backup who's getting all the publicity, and you got a quarterback that is passing percentage is less than 60%, which is not good. And he's prone to multiple turnovers in a game. That could be related to the quarterback himself or the offensive line, which is, I think, is a combination of both. I think the two teams are definitely going in a different directions. I think the Jets peaked the first 2 years of Rex Ryan. I think 8-8, they scrambled to get that. I'd be surprised if they get 8-8 again due to their schedule and their ability at the quarterback position to score, to be able to score points. So, and their defense. The defense still haven't a viable pass rusher, which was really the problem with them. The seven linebacker and the DBs are good. The front seven in pass rush is a problem. So you got somewhat of a perfect storm happening. Problems on the offense, especially the quarterback. Problems on the defense with a pass rush. That relates to a inconsistent team and a team that's going to have issues all through this season because of that.
Okay. So even though it's a preseason game, there's a lot of hype around it.
Absolutely.
Do you think it's worth the watch?
I would watch it, yes. Let me put it this way. I would watch it, especially probably the first half, because that's when you're probably going to have most of the starters in. After that, it's guys that are really playing for positions. This is the second game, so you got to show your potential or something the second game, because the third game, the starters, the guys, the first team of both sides are probably going to be playing quite a bit, gearing up for the first game of the regular season. The last game of preseason usually has the starters coming in, maybe a snap or two. They jump out, and all the guys that are on the edge of making the team or not play the rest of the game, so you're really playing for a roster spot for the, in the second game and the fourth game. So,
okay. All right. Well, I mean, I won't be able to see it until I get my stuff hooked up and everything, but we'll make something happen.
Well, my question is this, before you go any further, you don't have any TV, you don't have any internet?
No.
What's going on there?
No, because our furniture will not be able to be delivered until Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
So the weekend, I'm just blind. I'm going to go buy a TV now after the shows, just so my kids can watch regular TV over the weekend. And then on Monday, return that TV. I shouldn't be saying it's over there. So return that TV.
You got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dead serious. In this economy, I got to do that.
Oh, boy.
I'll probably buy like a little 13-inch TV, and then that one will be in the kitchen, you know, because my wife doesn't want the kids to have a TV in their room, da-da-da-da-da. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see what happens. But I'm going to do that shortly after we've finished the show. But I want to move on because we've got a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of hell for this. I know I am. So I'm going to just play it now.
Go ahead.
I, earlier on during the NFL Combine and stuff like that, was touting a certain quarterback. This certain quarterback was the second pick in the first round by a team in the Cleveland, Ohio area. This quarterback, without a strong running game, has not looked that good. We need Trent Richardson to come back so this guy can look better. But I will say Brandon Whedon found his number one target, Greg Little, and did pretty decent against the Green Bay Packers defense, which was kind of porous. They actually won the game 35-10. But again, this is preseason, and he played a half, an entire half, which was good for him. Didn't have any turnovers, and he didn't make any bad decisions. But he did more dinking than dunking, which is not a good sign for a quarterback coming in and giving the keys to a franchise. But I will say this. Brandon Whedon has the potential to be a very, very good quarterback for a couple of years, several years. But I don't see the Cleveland Browns getting rid of Seneca Wallace or Colt McCoy anytime soon. But here's Brandon Whedon on his gameplay versus the Green Bay Packers.
Picks I didn't make were stuff that was easy fixes and stuff that we could really get to work on, you know, the next day. So, you know, like me and Greg Little, you know, we got on the same page, and I was able to connect with Greg last night a couple times. So, just some little stuff. My stride from week one to week two were good, but you know, I think I still got a ways to go.
All right, go ahead, Jerry. He didn't Tony Pike it up, but he was Brandon Whedon. Go ahead, hit me.
No, I'm not going to hit you because the highlights that I saw, and maybe it's just those highlights, he didn't look too bad. I mean, he made some bad reads, and I think he was he got intercepted, I think, one time, and he could have thrown for a couple more interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. I don't recall what it. I know he threw one time into where was a stupid throw, and I think when he got to the sidelines, you could see on TV that the coach was talking about it, and then I think he repeated the same thing later on at whatever time he was playing. He basically repeated the same thing, trying to making a throw that he shouldn't have been making. So he's 28. He's a rookie. He's going to have some type of mistakes. You got to expect that. He's not going to be a perfect thrower the first few times. This was his first start. Not everyone does well on their first start. Some people do, some people don't. But that doesn't mean that the guy's not going to be a decent quarterback. I think he should be able to grow with the offense. He's got a first-year quarterback, I mean running back, and he's got a second-year wide receiver that looked like he's pretty good. He connected with it, almost got a touchdown out of it with Greg Little. So I think he's got the makings, and I'll be the first one to say, I think he's got the makings to be, a very decent quarterback. He just needs pieces around him and just needs his playing experience, just like a lot of young quarterbacks, they just need experience.
So hold on.
I know you expected me to lambaste you and go up and down you from left to right, but I'm a man, and I admit if I was mistaken, and I'll say that the kid looks like he's got potential. Let me put it that way. He looks better than I.
He looks better. I was right.
Oh, see that. You know what? See, now you're going to – see, I'm saying I'm wrong, and then you're going to rub the hot garbage in my face. Come on, man.
You know what? The same thing if you win the Fantasy Baseball League, so I might as well get mine in now.
Well, let me put it this way.
Right.
Let me put it this way. I told you, and this is the honest truth. For 2 weeks, if I win that baseball – I'm going to lambaste everybody in that league. I guarantee you. If I win it, everybody's going to know about it for the next 2 weeks, and after that, I'm dropping it, unless somebody else brings it up, unless you bring it up or something like that. So, and I'm playing one of the guys I really want to rub it into, Halifax Hurlers, but that's okay. That's okay.
Well, we'll see what happens. We're going to talk about fantasy baseball in a minute, but Black is in the chat room, and he says that there's a college football preview on CBS right now, and I'm not trying to turn people away from the show, but if you're into that right now, you can check that out on CBS. Also, since we have so many new shows and so many new people, I've requested that we do a new banner, and Black needs a clear picture from all of us.
Okay.
So that he can create a new banner, preferably business-looking, I would hope, so I'm going to send that out to Mac and Kim. And once Brian joins us, we'll get him involved. But we got to remove Ricky. Ricky's no longer a host. He has other things he has to take care of. He might call in from time to time, but he's not going to be a host.
Okay.
So we got to adjust things accordingly. But I'm just very glad that the master understands that he is not the master. I am. And, you know, things will get better.
This is not a perfect science. This is giving your educated opinion on something, And it's not a perfect science. If it was a perfect science of what I have my opinion, then I would be getting huge bucks for my opinion. But this is not a perfect science. So, but when things are looking like I made a mistake in my opinion, I'll be the first as a man to admit it. And it looks like the offensive coordinator and the philosophy of the Cleveland Indians, just like a lot of the other teams that have young – Cleveland Browns, just like a lot of the other teams that have young quarterbacks, are going to tailor their offense to maximize the ability of the quarterback they have. And I think that's what they're going to do with Brandon Whedon. And I think once the running back gets back, which would be a huge help to any young quarterback. So,
I agree. Speaking of huge help to quarterbacks, and since Black in the chat room, I bring this up early because I know I was going to be there. The big help of Tony Romo. Looks like he might not be a sure thing this year. Not just in a couple of games, but for the year.
His blinky is in jeopardy of not being there, yes.
Yes, his little security blankie, little thingy-ma-bopper, you know.
Yes.
Let's talk about, and I had Jason Witten rated high this year. I really did. And one, it was a solid hit, and I've been hitting my sternum before, so I know it can be difficult. But if he has to have his sternum removed, we're talking weeks and weeks, and Witten might not see the field till like November.
Yes. And if you remember or not, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I had the Jason Witten rated that high. And I think you took not saying I knew that he was going to get injured. I just figured he wasn't going to be as good as he was last year and past years. So yeah. I had him rated down 7. I'm pretty sure that you probably told me, why do you have him rated so low when he's usually in the top 5? So, but
well, I'm interested in knowing your thoughts on the impact of the loss of Whedon. But before you give that, Black has a question. Who's better, Whedon or Cobb?
Black, you know that's a dig at me, right? You know that's a dig at me, right?
I know.
And it's a huge dig. I don't know if you're going to get into this or not about what a lineman from the Oakland Raiders said about Kevin Cobb, if you know about it or not. Do you know about this?
No, I don't.
The Raiders played the Cardinals last night, and Joe Kelly, who was a defensive lineman, came off the field and made a statement, and part of the statement was that Kevin Cobb is scared out there.
I can agree. He looks scared.
So who do I think is a better quarterback? Black. I told you before. I'm not on the Kevin Cobb train anymore. I'm mistaken about that. Brandon Whedon at this time seems like he's a more capable quarterback than Kevin Cobb. Kevin Cobb seems like he's going to be the backup. Even though he's got a big contract, he seems like he's going to be the backup. And John Skelton looks like he's going to be the starting quarterback. Now, both of those guys didn't play that well last night, but Skelton played better than Kevin Cobb. Let me put it that way. So I think it's Skelton's job to lose right now. So
I agree, even though they gave him so much money. I think that to transition back to what we're talking about, Whedon is a big part of the Cowboys' offense, and Black is pointing out that he's a minor story because there are 20 injured Cowboys right now. But I counter with saying that he is the biggest one that you need to be concerned about.
Yep.
Dez Bryant, as for much talent he has, he can only run 3 or 4 routes. If Miles Austin stays healthy, he'll be good. Who's the backup tight end? If Murray gets a broken ankle again, or Felix Jones can't, you know, hit the hole hard, who was Tony going to rely on?
Yeah, because they got rid of Marcellus Bennett because he had maturity issues. So who's the backup tight end for the Dallas Cowboys? Oh, my God. Let me see if I can bring him up and see. John Phillips.
And who was that? My point exactly.
John Phillips.
Was it a mistake to let Martellus Bennett go? I mean, you couldn't foresee this, but I don't know.
Well, I think Black saying it's minor. I can't agree with that because Jason Witten is and been this for years. Tony Romo's security blanket. When all else breaks down, all else fails, he looks for Jason Witten somewhere in the middle of the field to unload the ball. That's without a doubt. That's no dispute. That's a statistical fact. And you watch any of the games, anything breaks down in a play and he can't get the ball to one of the wide receivers, he's looking not to dump it off on the running back. He's looking for his security blanket, his blankie, which is Jason Witten. What is he going to do?
He says John Phillips, and John Phillips is 6'7". But does John Phillips have the talent and the route running ability that Witten has? And I would say no. It was just like trying to find Jay Novacek all over again, and they found it in Witten. But Witten's one of those older guys, like beware, that's on the downside of their career. It's either get me a championship in the next 2 years or, you know, I'm going to be done because of injury. I'm not going to be the top-of-the-line player that I used to be. I'll still be able to play in the NFL, but I won't be the most dominant player. And that's what I see going on in Dallas. Jerry put it out there. This is a do-or-die season for his team. And with so many injuries and a key component of that offense being Jason Witten going down and not knowing whether he'll be able to start the season or if he starts the season, how much jeopardy are you putting him in by letting him play? And if he does need surgery, when do you give him the surgery? And how long is the recovery?
Yeah, right? You're right. It's a spleen, man. It's wow. That's a serious injury there.
Yeah. And he's going to get hit there in his chest a lot. A lot. Because the ball's going to hit him in the chest if it goes through his hand. And then the defender's going to hit him in his chest. You know, I remember Steve McNair having an injury like this. And yes, he was a quarterback. And yes, he got hit a lot. And yes, he played. But, dude, when you got a block all the time, that somebody's putting their helmet in your chest all the time, it's not going to be fun for him. Not at all. But let's go out, bring that up, and see what type of information we can get back off of it. If you guys got any questions or any comments on the topic we got right now, which is football, and Jason Witten and the Cowboys, dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. You can get on the air, and we'll see what goes on with that and your questioning. We got a lot more to talk about football-wise, fantasy football-wise. So we're going to go right into the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals. Now, they have the potential to be a very, very good team. They're young. They're extremely young. Dalton connected with A.J. Green for like a 50-some-yard touchdown the other night and had a good outing. A lot of people think he's going to regress. I don't think so. But here's what Ray Manaluga said about how they played last year. And remember, last year they were a playoff team. This is what Manaluga had to say about them last year.
When I did get hurt, my mindset sort of shifted a little bit. I was playing scared, not scared playing football, but I was scared as, you know, re-injuring my ankle, scared of getting hurt again, and, you know, no one wants to ever get hurt in the league because everyone's mindset is, you know, if they take time off, that, you know, someone would step in and do your job better than you did.
So that's what he's saying about, you know, when he was hurt and how people had to stay in and how they worried about losing their job. But the fact that there were injuries, people were playing tentative. Do you see them going out and playing with reckless abandonment this year?
Absolutely.
Do you think they have a, well, do they have a shot? Because I know we went over our picks and whatnot. I have the Bengals finishing third in their division, or second in their division. How do you see this team playing this year? And could it be the end of Marvin Lewis's time there in Cincinnati?
First of all, I answer the first, the last question first. Marvin Lewis I wouldn't say entrenched, but he's definitely in there for quite a while. He's got a recharged or regenerated fan base because of the fact is he's clean house and he's dealing with the younger players. And some say they may have overachieved. I don't think so. I think they're going to take a step up. They play better. Maybe their record won't reflect it, but I think they'll play better. And I got AJ Green rated number sixth in my evaluation of wide receivers. So I don't think he's going to regress. I think he's going to be a stud. And from what I saw the last game they played, these guys are going to be a tough out in whatever game they play. And Marvin Lewis can get his team up, especially a young team and a hungry team, because of what took place last year. These guys are going to be hungry again this year. I think the Steelers are older with a new offensive coordinator. The Baltimore Ravens, if you watch the Baltimore Ravens, they're opening up the playbook more. I know it's Cam Cameron, but they're opening up a playbook more. They're going to have Joe Flacco throwing the ball more. And the reason for that is that defense is getting older. They have older primetime players on there, and they may not be as prolific in the defense as they used to be. So I think they're going to have to score more points versus rely more on the defense, which means to me that they realize that the teams in the conference have gotten better, in the division have gotten better, and they got to put more points on the board to keep up. And I look for the Cincinnati Bengals to compete, be one of the competitors in that conference. And the Cleveland, believe it or not, Cleveland had a top five defense, if I'm not mistaken, at least a top 10 defense last year, and our offense held them back. This is going to be a very competitive division. Cleveland probably be bringing up the rear, but the other three teams, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, are going to be fighting it out for the top spot.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a tough tough sell in the AFC North. Black is going to join us after the CBS preview of college football.
Okay.
But hopefully we'll still be on the air when it goes off, because we're blazing right on through all the topics I had today. I know we're going to talk about some other things, but my take is that Cincinnati is on the verge of becoming a perennial playoff team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where I see them becoming that perennial playoff team is they find the running back that will handle the ball enough as Dalton gets into his own and AJ gets into his own. Because Ben Jarvis Greenhouse is a great back for now. They need to find them a Trent Richardson. They need to find them an Adrian Peterson. They need to find a sledgehammer so that Dalton and AJ can connect, along with Gresham and all those other cats that Cincinnati has. I think the kid Sanu is going to be phenomenal. I really do. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to get into his own. And Jordan Shipley is going to be a great third receiver in the slot. So Cincinnati has the makings of being a perennial playoff team. How deep they'll go, I don't know. But they're young on defense. They're young on offense. They're buying into what Lewis is saying. And I don't know. And Black keeps saying stuff like Dalton for president and Dalton for prime minister. But I'm quite sure if he was down in Dallas, he'd be a great deal more happy than having Kyle Orton as a backup. But the bottom line is I think that Cincinnati is going to shock some people this year, and I think they're going to carry some good success from the preseason over into the regular season. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Marvin Lewis has never won a preseason game, or he's won maybe like a handful of preseason games. And I believe they just won a game the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I got to look it up. So that's saying that they're buying in. They got the quarterback. They got the receiver. They got the defense. All they need is a daggone solid number one running back. That timeshare stuff is not going to work. Scott, Leonard, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, it's okay. It's okay, but you need a heavy hitter. And that takes me to my next question. The back that was in Cincinnati goes to Green Bay. How dangerous, or how more dangerous, does that make the Green Bay Packers? That they have a bona fide running attack now. Talk to me, JC.
Well, I had touted James Starks pretty highly this year, and he's dealing with a turf toe, and he's been struggling in training camp. So they went out and got Cedric Benson. Cedric Benson is not a dual threat type of back. He basically just runs the freaking ball. I still believe Cedric Benson. I still believe the Packers are going to surprise some people and run the ball more. I think they need to do that to offset some of the weaknesses they have in their defense, and they're probably going to be able to pass the ball quite naturally. They did last night, and they've done it in the past. But I think they're going to be running the ball more. I'm still out in the jury on Cedric Benson. I think he'll. I'm not sure if he played in this last game because of the. He only got to the team recently. We'll be able to see more of Cedric Benson in the third game of preseason,
yeah,
to see how he plays into the offense. But I do believe, and I still strongly believe, that the Green Bay Packers are going to be running the ball more. And if Cedric Benson stays healthy and they're able to give him holes, because he needs holes to run, because Cedric Benson is not a creator. So he needs holes to run in. And
Black is killing you, dude. Black is killing you. He says you also touted the injured Trip Richardson and the bum Kevin Cobb. But
what's that now?
He's killing you, dude. He said you also touted the injured Trent Richardson and the bum Kevin Cobb.
Well, I didn't tout him this year. I touted Kevin Cobb last year, okay?
Yeah.
I said, this is not exact science. This is not exact science. You, in fantasy, you've been playing fantasy football for a long time. You may have been touting guys that didn't pan out. I touted a quarterback that didn't pan out. I still think Trent Richardson is going to be a big-time running back.
Oh, yeah.
He's got all the attributes to be a big time running back. He's getting whatever his problem was with his knee taken care of real early, and I think he's going to be able to perform when the time comes. Kevin Cobb,
I agree.
That was last year's news. That's last year's fantasy. I can't deal with that now because this is this year. I didn't count Kevin Cobb in the equation. I thought they were going to go out and get another quarterback because these two quarterbacks in Arizona are not world beaters. But I think Skelton's skill set and mindset is better than Kevin Cobb's at the present time. So,
yeah, you're getting called Master Kuiper.
Yeah, okay.
But let me go. Let me move on because I know Black's going to have something to say when he jumps on the air.
No problem. No problem.
All right, here's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric Benson, to me, makes Green Bay even more dangerous.
I don't know about all
on
that.
On the offensive side. Because when they do decide to run the ball, like you said, they're going to run heavy. He's going to be a very, very good guy. And if you notice in the past couple of games, I know it's preseason games, but Jordy Nelson is emerging as Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. I don't know if Greg Jennings and he had a falling out or whatever.
No.
But Jordy Nelson's getting a lot more balls thrown his way.
Let me interrupt you one quick minute. Greg Jennings is recovering from a concussion. I don't know if you know that or not.
No, he
sustained a concussion before the first preseason game, if I'm not mistaken. So he hasn't been playing preseason. So who's the next option that Aaron Rodgers like to throw to? For the most part, would be Jordy Nelson. Once Greg Jennings comes back, it's going to be parceled out a lot evenly than right now. So I understand what you saw, thought you saw in Jordy Nelson, but Greg Jennings is dealing with concussion issues, and when he gets back, then that's going to change.
All right, we'll see. Can you please release Jermichael Finley? I'm just asking. Let him go.
No, I'm not letting him go. I'm not letting him go. I am not letting him go.
All right, okay. Well, let's move on to the next subject that I wanted to get into,
mm-hmm.
which is I honestly think, and I'm going to restate this because I know early on when I didn't get a chance to comment when we did the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope Jerry smells action on this. I believe the Seattle Seahawks will vie for the NFC West title with a better than 500% record. I'm going to break it down to you. Matt Flynn or Wilson has Braylon Edwards, Terrell Owens, Sidney Rice, Jonathan Baldwin, Marshawn Lynch, Kevin Boss, and another tight end there, and a decent offensive line, and their defense was already good. Okay? I'm honestly feeling Seattle right now. You have three Pro Bowl wide receivers out there and two quarterbacks. All they got to do is give them the ball short and let them go. And a running back that will keep the defensive line and defense honest. Tell me. I'm smoking crack or something, Jerry.
You're smoking crack. You're smoking crack because if you look at their schedule, it reeks of a losing season, in my opinion. It reeks of a losing season, in my opinion. They play Dallas, Green Bay, at Carolina, at San Francisco, at Detroit. At Chicago, San Francisco, and that's just the, I don't know how many games that is. That's 1, 2, 3, and they play New England too, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I right now, they're on the losing side of a record, in my opinion. In my opinion, they're on the losing side of a record. Because the teams that they play that are mediocre teams or teams that you think are weak, they're playing them at versus at home. So when they play at Miami, there's a strong possibility the way they play on the road, they'll lose that. They're playing at Buffalo late in the season, in my opinion, they'll lose that. So if you take Dallas, which I think they're going to lose, you play Green Bay, which I think they're going to lose. They play at Carolina, which I think they're going to lose. That's three. They play New England. That's a loss. At San Francisco, in my opinion, that's a loss. At Detroit, that's a loss. At Miami, that's maybe up in the air, but because of the way they play on the road, that's a loss. At Chicago, which is on the other hot side of their bye, and maybe who knows how it's going to be in Chicago, That's a loss. And then at Buffalo, which is the third from last game, and then they play San Francisco at home. No way do they have a winning record. No way.
Well, let me clarify this. I believe they're going to be in contention for the NFC West title.
No way.
Okay. Now.
No way.
Here's the deal.
Show me the deal.
It's very plain and simple. Okay? Very plain and simple.
Okay.
I believe that Seattle will either finish first or second in the NFC West. I am willing to bet that they will finish either first or second in the NFC West.
That's a dumb. If I was to take that, I would have to be the biggest dummy going, because in that weak division, there's a possibility that they can finish second. There's a strong possibility that they can finish second. First, ain't happening. I really don't believe that's going to happen.
I think San Fran will win it.
Second, there's a strong possibility because of Arizona and their quarterback situation, and they have a similar schedule with St. Louis, who has a new coaching staff, a new offensive and defensive coordinator. So they're going to have growing pains. So by default, they can get second. Let me put it that way, just by default. So that would be a sucker bet. No way.
Okay.
No way. You got to give me a record.
I'm about to give you one. Here we go. They will be within three games of the San Francisco 49ers.
That's a sucker bet. No way. Absolutely. Absolutely. Give me a record. Don't even try the within three games. I mean, San Francisco can win 11 games, and Seattle can win 8 games. That's within 3 games. So, I mean, give me a record, what you think.
But you don't think they're going to be 800. So, I mean, you don't think they're going to be 500. So if they get 8 games, that's 500.
If that's what you think, they're going to win 8 games?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, see? Give me a record. You give me a record. Don't tell me within, because within can be anything can happen within 3 games.
Jay.
Come on, stop.
Jay.
Stop.
Jay.
Stop, Vic. Come on. I've known you too long. It ain't working. You give me a record. Just like you gave me Seattle before, and we went down on with that, you give me a record which you think Seattle's going to have, like 9-7, 8-8, then we can talk. But if you don't give me a
– huh? We'll discuss it.
Okay.
We'll discuss it.
You don't give me a record, it ain't even a conversation.
I smell green on the table. I think I need some green.
Green is on the table, but you got to come with something that makes some sense in order for that green to be put down and say, yeah, okay.
I mean, I saw it, you know.
Yeah,
anyway,
let's
move on. Let's move on.
Boy, I tell you, you're a good one to try to sucker somebody in. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. It's not happening.
That's my conservative side.
Yeah, okay. That's not my dumb side, though. Let me tell you.
Well, let's talk about someone that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Brett Favre.
Brett Favre?
Yes, Brett Favre.
That's my quarterback, man.
I got rid of that crap, because I didn't know what that was. Then I just realized what it was after
I saw it.
That's
my quarterback. That was Terrell Owens talking about my quarterback, man.
Crazy. Well, right now, that quarterback is coaching high school football.
Yep.
Offensive coordinator.
Yes,
and
he is,
I believe, one of his players, McCarty, I believe Mark McCarty, discussing Favre as a coach.
Enthusiastic. Very. He got more excited than us on that one play he was talking about. But yeah, he's not a yeller as far as getting on to people. But when something good happens, he's yelling, and he's real excited, and he's really, you can tell that he cares, and he knows what he's talking about for sure.
All right, so he's been working out with these kids for several years now, and a lot of them they know him as Brett. They don't ask him for autographs, and he's coaching. Do you think Brett Favre will get that itch to coach on a college or professional level? And if so, where do you think he will be needed most?
Well, I'll answer the last question first. He won't be needed in either one of them because the reason I'm saying that, I'll answer the first question. Brett Favre is comfortable in his space, meaning where he is in Mississippi. He's comfortable where he's at. He likes doing what he's doing. He's talking, being able to relate to high school kids. I don't think he would want to put the time in and the type of effort it takes to be a college or a professional coach. He's comfortable. I listened to a brief interview of him about his high school coaching, and he couldn't believe that it wore him out as much as it did being just a high school offensive coordinator coach. So just imagine how much time you have to put in the college and the pro level. He's happy living down where he lives, not that far from where he lives, being a high school football coach and being able to relate. He's got that mindset that a high school player, because of his status as a Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, would listen to. Quarterback on a high school team, plus the offensive players. So, he's comfortable where he's at. And I don't think he's looking to do anything any higher than that. I don't think he would want to put the time in. It's plain and simple. He's a good old boy. He likes his time away from his job. And when his time is his time, it's his time. So I don't think he would want to go any further than high school.
Okay. I mean, I can see that. But he has a love for the game. And I see he loves teaching kids and instructing kids. So I could see him on the collegiate level doing something like that. It's just a thought I put out there. Brett Favre is going to be one of the most loved quarterbacks because of his personality and what he could do on the field. Not because he only won Super Bowl, but because of who he was and how he was on the field. So I look forward to seeing him getting inducted to the Hall of Fame one day.
He was more enthusiastic about the first touchdown that he had designed to run, and he scored on a trick play, than the ones that actually were on the field playing the game. He's a big kid at heart, so he can relate to players and kids because he's a big kid at heart, and he loves the game and. This is his level. In my opinion, this is his level where he likes teaching kids. He's not, like you said, not a screamer. He just likes to talk about playing, how to play the position in the offense. And the kids, because the way he is, he's very easy to listen to. He's a very easy guy to listen to because it just comes natural. He doesn't have to pull any punches. He doesn't have to change his personality anyway. He's just the natural way to be able to relate to this level of athlete, and I don't think he wants to go any higher. I really don't. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to bring in the Bookie Monster and ask his opinion because...
Here we go.
We got 20 minutes left alive there.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to get a breakdown from
then
Bookie
Guy. You can go buy your TV.
Yes, got to go buy my TV. But I'm going to let Black get you since you want to get on me.
Yeah, he can get fine. No problem. I got big shoulders.
All right, Black. So what do you think about Brett Favre and his coaching career?
It's all good for Brett. He needs something to do, man. I don't want to see him come trot himself back into the NFL. So it's all good with his coaching. I think he might ultimately end up in Southern Mississippi, though.
Yeah, Southern Miss. That I in that area, I agree. Because he wants to coach, and if he can get there, I think, you know, it'll be a good thing for him. You know, because he just has it in his system. Well, fellas, I want to briefly get some information from you guys. I want to know, since I've been out of the loop, what games are on tap tonight, and who are you in particular looking for to have a good game or improve on last week's preseason's performance? And by the way, I'm going to say this right now. Andrew Luck impressed me. He impressed me last week. I saw that game when I was sitting at a Buffalo Wild Wings with my boy. I know it was against the St. Louis Rams defense, but he impressed me for that first half. So, good going, Andrew. I wouldn't have been mad if you were a Redskin, but I'm glad I got RG3. Take it away, Black.
I told you would have been happy with Luck.
Yeah, okay. But who are you looking forward to watching tonight, and why?
Oh, I look forward to watching RG3 again tonight because I just see so many RG3 commercials. I need to find out who the guy is. I'm looking forward to watching him play a half with the feather scares tonight and seeing what they can do against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Julius Peppers didn't play last week. I think Julius is going to play this week. Ryan Urlacher, of course, is down. Don't know his status. Lance Briggs is going to play. I don't think he's going to play a half, though. But I would love to see this game. I really would, because I want to see how Brandon Marshall and Cutler are going to go against a pretty good defense.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you watch the game, then?
Because I'm in a house, and none of my furniture or anything is here, and I have no TV, no bed, no nothing, so I got to go buy a TV real quick. And in California, they don't show the Redskins. You know, it's not on.
Do you have a computer?
Yes, I do. Oh, but I don't have internet access.
You suck. You better go buy a Wi-Fi box like right this.
You know what? I might have to go buy a little Wi-Fi box just to, you know, be honest. I might have to fork down like $100 just to get one. I might just have to do that, Slim. But my wife ordered the internet for our house, but it won't be here until Monday when we get our stuff. So
oh,
it's crazy.
Man.
I know.
Just get the Wi-Fi hot box. Just take it back Monday.
Yeah. That's why I was telling Jerry I'm going to do that with the TV.
I'm looking forward to this. This is what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward with your Seattle Seahawks. I'm looking to see what Matt Flynn.
Seahawks.
I'm looking to see what Matt Flynn and that offense does against the Denver defense. And I'm also looking at Peyton Manning. There's several games I'm looking at. I'm looking at how Peyton Manning progressed from the last game to this game. Plus the I don't know if Ronnie Tillman is playing now because I touted him. I'm going to see if Ronnie Tillman, he's more of a two-tier back, a two-prong attack back than Willis McGahee. So I want to see how much they play him in there.
You know he got hurt, right?
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
He's out for the season, though.
No, he's not out for the season.
I thought it was ACL. I thought it was ACL again.
No, as far as I know, he – who are you talking about? Tillman?
The kid
or McGahee?
No, Tillman. You told me the kid that was going to – Hillman, whatever his name is.
Ronnie Tillman. From what I understand, he's got either an ankle or he's got a groin, one or the other, that he's got an issue with. That's in the Seattle-Denver game. In the San Francisco and Houston game, quite naturally, I want to see how those two teams play against each other because they have two good defenses. I want to see how the running back plays out on San Francisco side. Frank Gore, Kendall Wright, Brandon Jacobs, and Michael James. I'm going to see what those guys are going to do. Quite naturally, I want to see how my boys in Houston are going to be playing. And then Washington and Chicago, like you said, I want to see how Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler play, along with RG3 on the other side, and how the running back is going to be running back by committee. He's touted Evan Royster as the one that he likes a lot. I'm going to see what's going to happen in there. Then I'm going to go over into Kansas City. When I want to see I'm going to be able to see some of these games, and some of these games I'm going to catch on a replay. But these are the things I'm looking at in each one of these games. Kansas City and St. Louis. On the Kansas City side, I want to see how it pans out between Jamaal Charles and Peyton Hillis. I want to see Matt Castle because I think Matt Castle is going to be a little surprise this year. I want to see how he's going to relate to Jonathan Ballman, who may emerge as a nice receiver this year. So
look here, Master Kuiper. Don't try to put the jinx on any more of these quarterbacks, okay?
No. I'm not going to stop. Here we go. I want to see on the other side how Sam Bradford is going to go with Mike Quick, and I also want to see if Lance Kendricks is going to play into the equation along with Isaiah Pede. I'm really liking Isaiah Pede, and Jeff Fisher has been talking about Isaiah Pede a lot, so I want to see how Isaiah Pede plays in the matchup against those two teams. Quite naturally, I want to see the New York Giants and the New York Jets see what's going to happen with this two-prong attack. I'm talking about quarterback-wise from the Jets. The Wildcat, or they're going to use the Wildcat. This is a battle in New York, so I want to see if the Giants are going to bring it against the Jets, how the Jets are going to react. And I also want to see how the running back from the Giants is going to how well he's going to play into the offense. I'll see how David Wilson, if he's going to be – excuse me?
That's my boy.
I'm going to see how David Wilson it's going to play. So these are the Saturday games. Seattle against Denver, Dallas against San Diego, San Francisco against Houston, Washington, Chicago, Kansas City and St. Louis, and New York Giants against the New York Jets. There's something for each one of each person who wants to watch these games. There's something in fantasy for everyone if you know what you want to look for. So this game, next game, is really key on how you're going to be drafting people in fantasy football. As long as they don't get hurt, these are keys to watch in some of these games.
I agree. And you also brought me back to what I was going to bring up. Go ahead, Black. I was going to say something.
Oh, no, I was saying one guy that doesn't play today, but I'm very interested to see how he performs, is the New England Patriots signing Jeff Dempsey from Florida.
Yes, as a kick or a punt return, one or the other.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
They play on Monday night.
Monday night?
I should be able to see that.
Philly against New England play on Monday night.
Yeah. I should be able to see that one. Well, really, what I want to see is, and I know I'm not going to see it, but taking back to the wide receivers, I want to see how T.O. and Matt Flynn or Russell, whoever, I mean Flynn starting, is going to go against Champ Bailey and that Denver Broncos defense. I want to see how Dwayne Bowe, since he just signed his franchise tag, he might not play. Well, he's not going to play. I don't think he is. I want to see what condition he's in. Because if he's a little overweight, I'm not touching with a 10-foot pole this fantasy year. And you're right, I think Baldwin could step up and take his job. Just to give you a little insight, Jerry, Peyton Hillis had 4 rushes for 41 yards last game, and Jamaal Charles had 3 for, I think, 12, and he had a reception for 21. So the hammer was your boy, Peyton.
Okay.
And the nail was Jamaal, because he didn't get any yards rushing, but he had one good reception out the backfield, a screen pass. So that's your breakdown on those two. And I forgot who they went against, but it wasn't a slouch team. So you got that there. But
well, let me put it this way about those two. This is not the first go-around for running back and splitting up carries. And who's come out on top of that? Jamaal Charles. So I still expect Jamaal Charles to come on top of that because he's a more explosive runner. He may not get all the goal line carries, but he'll be scoring from 15 to 20 yards out, no doubt about that. So
Okay. I'm not going to knock your hustle. Do what you do. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't have much left to discuss. I know we got like 10 minutes left to live there.
You do have more to discuss because let me tell you about yourself, Victor Gunn. Since you've been down, there has been absolutely zero MMA coverage. And you know I need all my money from all angles. You have to tell me about this female fight tonight with Ronda Rousey.
She's going to beat the crap out of the chick. All right, I'll tell you like this. Rousey is one of those I would love to allow her to have a moment with me, but I'd be afraid that once she clinched, she'd probably break something because she's very strong and very powerful, but she wins by submission. She likes to punish a chick and then make them tap. And she doesn't use roids or anything like that, so she's clean. She is a beast. Put your money on her. As I said, I think like all of her wins except for one were by submission. So I can't give you a round. I can't give you anything like that, but I will say she's going to go for submissions. She will try to go for submissions. So Ronda Rousey, put your money on her. Right now, she's the best female MMA star there is.
She sounds like a female Chris Benoit.
Oh, she is. She is. Minus the roid rage. And pretty. So, you know, she would make you think differently if you got in a cage with her. Don't think you're going to just beat up on a girl. Nah, that young lady is very well skilled on the mat, and she's pretty good standing up. So, yeah, that's what you got there, buddy. And I apologize for not giving you any insight on MMA. A lot of good fights have taken place.
Yes,
while
they
I was gone. So, I'm sorry about that, brother, but I'm back, and I'll be giving more insight as these matches come about. So I think the next big MMA fight is Carlos Condit and George St. Pierre, who, by the way, George St. Pierre's coach has said he wants to fight Anderson Silva at a catchweight. Now, I think that fight is like the Roy Jones-Hopkins fight, too little, too late. Right now, GSP is returning from an injured knee, severely injured knee, and he's got to beat Carlos Condit to unify the titles. I think he'll beat Carlos Condit. I think he'll do it soundly because Condit is a good fighter, but I don't think he's on the level of GSP. But I think that the best fight in MMA right now, which is not going to happen anytime soon, would be Bones Jones versus Silva. And Silva's pushing 37, 38, so, you know, it's about time for him to retire. So we'll see what happens there. But that's what I got for you, brother. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening to this show, Fantasy Sports Politics, every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Sunday, tomorrow, I'm going to be sitting there for the Master. He's going to be at a live fantasy draft in Atlantic City. So, Master, tell people real quick what's going on in Atlantic City.
What's going on in Atlantic City is for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, Atlantic City Convention Center. Tickets are still on sale. The Fantasy Football Fest. There are going to be a lot of special guests, including Matthew Berry of Fantasy Football and Fantasy ESPN. He's supposed to be a spotlight speaker. Athletes that are supposed to appear: Michael Vick, Jill Theismann, LaShawn McCoy, Lawrence Taylor, Otis Anderson, Chris Dolman, Bruce Smith, Bruce Harper, Jim Kelly, Tony Dorsett, Howard Cross, Byron Hunt, Phil Simms, Keith Byers, Tony Siragusa, Kevin Ross, Perry Williams, Curtis McGriff, Billy Taylor, Roman Oben, Jim Burt, Beasley Reese, Joe Pisarczyk, Bobby Jackson, Freeman McNeil, Russell Carter, Brandy Beverly, Rowland James, Sean Landetta, Stephen Baker, Michael Haddix, Brian Dawkins, supposed to be expert analysis there. Adam Ronis from Roto Experts, Mark Dr. Roto Bloom from Roto Experts, Scott the King Engel from Roto Experts, Bob Lung from Roto Experts, John Hansen from Fantasy Guru, Joseph Dolan from Fantasy Guru, Matt Kemp from Fantasy Guru, Mike Clay from Pro Football Focus, another set of guys from Fantasy Robo Experts, Doug Anderson, Jack Clay. There's going to be a lot of guys from different websites and different fantasy football analysts or experts or writers that are going to be there. Like I said, it's August 8th at and 19th in Atlantic City Convention Center. The site to go see is www.fantasyfootballfest.com. Go to there. You'll get all the information. Tickets are on sale, $30 for each ticket. And if you come, adult comes with a someone underage, I think it's underage 12 or 10 or whatever it is, they get in free. So I'll be there. I'm going to try to call in and let everyone know what's going on here. But that's what's happening, Atlantic City Convention Center, August 18th and 19th. And I know Black has something going on in the D.C. area.
Well, with all those names you reeled off, unfortunately, that still won't help you win the league.
Oh, by the way, thank you for finally letting me in the league now that LaMonica's gone, but it's okay.
Oh, well, anyway, mine is the fantasy talk.
Pay your fee. Sunday,
August 19th, Wise Senior High School. It's the Goodman League Round Ball Classic. Confirmed NBA players to appear. Kevin Durant, fresh off of his gold medal performance in the Olympics. John Wall, John Selby, Sam Young, Ty Lawson, the return of Gilbert Arenas to the area, Dante Cunningham, and also R&B and hip-hop megastar Chris Brown, a.k.a. Breezy, is also suiting up, and he'll be playing tomorrow as well. We have Wale performing at halftime. Doors open at 2 o'clock. The first game is the AAU game, Team Takeover versus Baltimore's Finest. Then at 6 p.m., the big show, the Goodman League versus the League, which is the NBA. Tickets are $30 general admission and $100 for VIP seats.
Of course, we know you're going to be there covering it, so we can expect some great sound bites. And I know Jerry's going to call in tomorrow to the master plan. I'm going to go over individual defensive players and team defenses. Since I got the reins, I'm going to let my expertise show.
Oh, boy.
Shut up, Jerry. But I would love to have gotten you credentialed for that fantasy football thing, Jerry. That way you can actually broadcast live from there and do everything. But too little.
But why didn't you make it happen, man?
Because he didn't let
talk about it.
Did
about it? Huh?
Shut up. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
What's these excuses just telling you that?
Anyway. I love you guys. I honestly do. We got to get out of here. We've got 2 minutes left to live there. So, again, Sunday, Master Plan. Tuesday, Compassion Bikini with Kim Fun.
My question, Vic, before you go any further, what time is the Master Plan?
You have it set for 10, correct?
Yes, because you had told me that you were going to change the time. That's why I was asking you.
Well, I'm going to do it at 10. That just means I got to be up at 7 o'clock.
Wow, commitment.
So I got to be up at 6:30 to get your show done. Just
okay.
Remember.
Okay.
All right.
Very proud of you, Victor McShay.
Shut up, dude. So we got that happening. And then on, again, Tuesday, Pastor Bikini, Kim Fun. Thursday, FSP Crew Show. Don't know what Black's got planned, but we'll get that going. By the way, Black, Blog Talk Radio is talking about doing an app, so you can control the show on Thursday once that comes to fruition. I'll let you know about it as it comes up. From your phone, by the way. Then again on Friday, no chasing. Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor, doing what they do. More politics coming your way, hopefully. But we are, Jerry, get out of here. Jerry, do what I need you to do, brother.
From all of us to all of you, I'll make it short and sweet. You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So
So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.